ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So you're serving as a ruling elder or a deacon in the church, but you also have almost a dozen other roles. Teacher, trainer, medic, writer, decorator, mechanic, coach, coordinator, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church, become nourished, and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once. So let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, a ruling elder and a certified Christian educator serving within the PCUSA Office of the General Assembly, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. And while this is a General Assembly year in the PCUSA, it is also a presidential election year in the United States. So we're thinking a lot about voting. And to help us get into the topic, I can think of no one better to join us today than Joyce Lieberman. Welcome, Joyce.
Thank you, Martha. Good to be here.
I know you've had some transitions, life transitions lately, Joyce. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell us what you'd like us to know about you.
I am recently retired. I have been a parish pastor, an interim pastor, a stated clerk of a presbytery. I've worked in the Office of the General Assembly in constitutional interpretation, and I've been a synod executive, most recently in the Synod of South Atlantic, which is Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida, and have returned to Albuquerque, where my husband and I had served as co-pastors a number of years ago. And so I'm now trying to figure out what retirement brings after I have to deal with some health issues, which doesn't give me much time for that. But anyway, but I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's great to hear you list off your roles after I just listed off roles in the introduction to the episode. So thanks for helping us learn a little bit more about you. And based on those roles, you've obviously had a lot of experience with Presbyterian polity and all that entails. As ruling elders and deacons, our listeners have the opportunity to vote as part of meetings within local congregation, session meetings, etc., and maybe a part of other committees as a part of our mid-councils, our presbyteries, our synods. Some may even be preparing to serve as commissioners to General Assembly. What insights or knowledge might you have as they consider this opportunity and what I consider an honor?
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things for those of us who are in ordained roles, whenever we're voting, is to understand that this is not like the federal government, where I say, in theory, our representative is supposed to listen to each one of their constituents and then kind of discern who and how they should vote on a particular matter. We are very clear in our polity, and our understanding is that those who are in those ordained roles, when their responsibility comes up that they need to vote on a matter, that they are to always seek and represent the will of Christ in that vote. And that's part of the whole discernment. When a session meets, when a board of deacons meet, when a council in the higher councils of the church meet, that you've been elected to this role because of, hopefully, your spiritual maturity, your wisdom, and your faith, and you bring that to the table whenever you're doing that discernment.
That's really helpful for us to keep in mind. And I know, because we are talking about the variety of roles, that most of our listeners, I assume, also have other opportunities outside of the church to vote, whether it's being a part of organizations,
yes,
or boards, obviously local and national elections, for instance. How is that different from some of what you've described related to Presbyterian polity?
Yeah, I think one of the things for me is it's very hard to bifurcate and say, okay, this part of me is a citizen or a member of a group apart from my faith, mm-hmm. because for me, my faith is hopefully informs everything that I do and the things that I'm involved in and the ways that I would vote in my community, might vote on my library board, I might vote, you know, for who's going to represent me in the federal government. And so for me, I always think I have a responsibility as a Christian, and I foundationally believe that I am to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, and I am to love my neighbor as myself. So however I'm voting, does it hold with that understanding of how I live my life of faith, especially about the neighbors? We're not paying attention to how our vote can impact those who are in our community who are not necessarily Christian, who don't necessarily hold the values that I hold, but they're still my neighbor. And I don't want to harm them. I don't want to make their lives harder. I want to do what I can to make sure that all of my neighbors, whether that's they're the ones that actually in my community or across the country or across the world that I don't even know, are not impacted by the way in which I might vote civilly as a citizen of a community or the United States.
It's interesting at this time where I live, we happen to be preparing for an election.
Yeah.
And some of what has come up through that and through other elections is our family that work in the church have been asked to put up some signs in our yard.
Ah, yes, yeah.
About who we might be supporting. What about preaching about ways of voting or particular candidates?
Yes. I'm back to God alone is Lord of the conscience. That doesn't mean your pastor isn't going to talk about issues that have political implications, because politics is part of who we are in life. Now, if they're going to talk about a particular ballot measure or a particular candidate, you know, the session may have to have a conversation with the pastor about that. But I really believe that as part of my spiritual discipline, I learn in worship from the sermons about how I should be living my life and the things that I may not have understood. I find that helpful in a small group Bible study, hearing about the concerns from other people about how they see matters. So it does, for me, go back to that God alone is Lord of the conscience and is going to guide, hopefully, me, and that I'm going to try to represent the will of Christ and how I am gifted with an ability to vote for something that expresses my love of God and neighbor.
Are there any other pieces that you've been reflecting on that we haven't talked about?
I've recently been reflecting on how people don't vote.
Interesting.
In elections. Yeah. And part of this probably comes out of my own upbringing, where my father was a Republican and my mother was a Democrat. We did not really talk politics at our house. But one of the things I know is that every single election, they voted, each of them. And for me, so I'm, you know, it's ingrained in me, you know, you're just a slacker if you're not voting. You know, that's your responsibility. And so, but again, for me, that's how I can help my neighbor in the ways in which I vote. And for me, it is an expression. I mean, some of those things, you know, you might say, well, how does this relate to faith? But there are a lot that do, especially mm-hmm. things that have financial implications for my neighbors who are not maybe as well off.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not quite sure where I land with why people don't vote, unless it just feels useless. But for me, yeah, it's not so much about being useless as much as it is about being faithful.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's a really great point to think about it in that way, instead of thinking about it as an obligation, thinking about it as being faithful.
Right. Right. And it really is a form of expression for me, mm-hmm. As practically should be, as everything that I do in my life should be a reflection of who I am as a follower of Jesus Christ, who confesses that he is my Lord and Savior, and that I want to love God and neighbor because he's told me to do that.
Right. And that we live in community, and that's important.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the way that the number of times that you've used neighbor as you're talking about these issues to get away from the, it's all about me and what what I want, what I need.
Well, and I think that's probably one of the challenges for me is in terms of my discernment about voting is we can always vote just that this is good for me.
Right.
You know, but that is pretty selfish and may harm other people. Yeah. And I mean, and I will admit that there are times when I go, am I ever going to win?
Right.
Hey, that's not, I mean, I'm old and I have voted a lot and, yeah. you know, but there are times yeah. when I am disappointed and,
about and it gets frustrating.
Ballot measures have yeah. turned out and stuff, but you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
but I keep going back.
Yeah. Well, good, good. You've served many roles in the church as you've listed for us. I know you've had a lot of contact with and served alongside a lot of ruling elders and deacons.
Yep.
Now that you have the chance, is there any advice that you'd like to give to those who are listening to us today?
Well, yeah, and some of it has to do with, which we all are witnessing in our culture, which is incivility and the portraying of the other as enemies, mm-hmm. and which is just for me contrary to everything I understand about being a Christian, you know, and that these that we are siblings together in Christ, even if we're from a. I mean, my thing is. Muslims into their siblings of mine in Christ. But I've also seen this being played out at the session level, which I find very hard to watch. And in some presbyteries, which is a black and white and an inability to listen and to talk to one another as those siblings in Christ, I just find heartbreaking. And I think that's the challenge for those who are in ordained ministry to not lose sight of the way in which we can engage with one another, not necessarily an easy way, but a willingness to stay at the table with one another because of who we are and what we believe.
It's interesting that you use the word heartbreaking because yeah. one of the images that I have is a frustrated God. Who thinks, come on, people.
I can see it.
This whole book that is showing you,
yes.
you know, what happens with incivility and all
yes.
that kind of thing. And,
yes.
and how that must be heartbreaking to watch God's yeah. people continually having these challenges.
So for me, all of us who are in ordered ministry to be willing to stay at the table and have hard conversations with people we don't necessarily agree with, mm-hmm. but be willing to hear, be willing to speak our conscience mm-hmm. As it relates to our faith with one another and in the best of all possible worlds to still love each other and still stay at table together.
Joyce, these are great things for us to be thinking about, particularly for such a time as this, I guess I
yes.
could say.
Yeah.
As we move into the Peace USA General Assembly, as we move closer to primaries, to elections, and all that entails. So thank you so much. It's been a gift to have you with us, and I appreciate you sharing your gifts with all of us who are able to gather sort of, what would you call this, electronically, I guess? So thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. Look forward to seeing you in person sometime.
Exactly.
Maybe at General Assembly.
We hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons. PCUSA.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.